Hey, welcome. Everybody doing okay? Wow. Is everybody doing okay? Yeah, good. Good. We want to welcome you. The pew pads are there. You know what to do with them. You do it every week if you'll pass those down and back when you finish up with them. Jeff is not here. He and the youth and the youth leaders are up at Ridgecrest. And the report is that the wind is, it sounds like a train's coming through up there. It's pretty stout up in the mountains right now. The wind has been pretty bad last 24 hours or so. But they've had a great time. They will be coming home today. And so if you will continue to remember them in prayer as they travel. But they've had a great time up there, retreat. So we also want to give thanks for the harvest offering we brought in last Sunday morning. We announced it in Wednesday night, but we want to give that to you if you weren't here. A little over $34,000. Yes, we can say hallelujah, clap, applaud, and all that good stuff. A little over $34,000. So we're really excited about that and thankful for that. By way of announcement, Tuesday morning, there will be no grace notes, so we want you to make a note of that. Wednesday night schedule. If you'll be sure and just make a note of the Wednesday night schedule, is published there in your order of service. Be no supper or family night activities, but we will have our Thanksgiving Eve service here in the sanctuary at 7 o'clock on Wednesday night. So preparation for Thanksgiving. So anybody else have any other announcements? Anyone? We're excited you're here with us. Guest. If you are with us today, we are excited that you are here. If you don't mind giving us your information on the pew pad when it comes by you, we promise not to harass you or anything. We're just excited that you're here with us and like to get you some more information about the ministries. But if you'll slip up your hand right now, if you're a guest with us, our ushers are going to be headed back down the aisle, and they will give you a packet of information that tells a little bit about the ministries and missions of College Park Baptist Church. And again, guests, we are glad you're here. Members, look around you. Notice where our guests are. Be sure to say a word of welcome to them at a time that's appropriate. So we are thankful. We come together to worship together. And so as we begin that transition, I pray that you in your heart will prepare yourself for worship, for what you will encounter. The God who created you is excited to meet with you as we worship him.
Let's pray. Lord God, we come this morning because you are worthy of our praise. Lord, you are worthy of all of the honor and glory that we can bring this morning to your name. And Lord, as we sing, as we read, as we pray, as we listen. Lord, let it be in communion with you. Lord, help us to know your presence. Lord, help us to respond to your presence. And Lord, let us leave here today a changed people who know and love and serve you. In Jesus' name, amen. Hear these words from Psalm 100. Shout with joy to the Lord, O earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name, for the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation.
I'm going to be reading Psalm 100 from the New International Version. You'll find that on page 427 in your pew Bible. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we confess that we try to be the leaders of our own lives. We try to control our own lives. But even as we hear your word proclaimed, Father, we know that you have the best path for us. You have the best journey for us. And we are so thankful for that. We're thankful that we are not the shepherd, that we are the sheep and we follow the good shepherd. We are thankful for that image as well as that truth. And so now as we worship together, we pray that we would follow you where it is that you would lead us, both in this time of worship as well as in our own lives. Father, that you would direct our hearts and our minds as we worship you so that you can teach us and correct us and encourage us and guide us through this process. Father, we love you and we love our fellow man and women and children and all that are around us that you've placed in our lives. And we know that as we go out from this place, you will give us opportunities to minister to each other. And we pray that we would recognize those opportunities. Father, that we would be faithful. You've blessed us with the resources to bless others. And we pray that we would be obedient and faithful. God, for those who are hurting this morning, who have come into this place with distractions, either for what has happened this week or in fear for what may happen this coming week, we pray that you would put all of our hearts and minds at ease so that we can truly rest in you and enjoy this time together. In your presence, in your peace. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Good morning.
Morning.
Would you pray with me? Dear Lord, we thank you so much for giving us this opportunity to meet and to praise you in the house that you've created for us. Lord, we pray that you're with each and every person in this world and each and every person in this church. We enter a holiday season. There have been losses. And there have been new births. We pray for each and every person that has experienced these. For some, it will be a new beginning, and for some, it will be a reminder of great times of the past. Lord, we pray that we do your will, that we see the need that you show us and that we respond to it. And all these things, in your name we pray. Amen.
Now hear Psalm 100 from the Message. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Know this, God is God, and God, God. He made us, we didn't make him. We're his people, his well-tended sheep. Enter with the password, thank you. Make yourselves at home, talking praise. Thank him, worship him. For God is sheer beauty, all generous in love, and loyal always and ever.
Psalm 100. Do you know what the most popular, or I guess I should say the best known psalm is? 23rd, yeah. That's right. It is, if you ask, I saw this survey for whatever good surveys are. I saw this survey that said that actually the 23rd Psalm is the most well-known psalm, which makes sense because, as we say a lot of times around Veterans Day and things of that nature, that the soldier's prayer is the name, kind of a generic name that's applied to the 23rd Psalm. The second most popular, you know what that one is? The 100th, it is. That was a trick question. Yeah. The second most well-known or second most popular psalm is the 100th psalm. And we've had several different translations of it read. And as I was preparing for this message, looking at that text, it is so common in the sense that so many people grew up in church with it. And as I looked through it, I went to the Interpreter's Bible. I read some notes by Melvin Newland, a fellow pastor. I went to the New Interpreter's Bible Old Testament Survey. I began to look through all kinds of sources, just kind of taking in Psalm 100, kind of with a fresh glimpse. I've known Psalm 100 since I was a child. And I told this story in Recreation. I'm not sure they believe me, so I got a little defensive and brought the evidence to you. But in 1966, I was given a Bible upon my baptism. And my third grade Sunday school teacher, Miss Imogene Crawford, she challenged us to memorize Scripture. And when we did memorize a passage of Scripture, guess what we got? A gold star. That's exactly right. Didn't get an Xbox, didn't get a phone, didn't get any. We got a little gold seal. Not the kind, but that kind right there. A little gold seal. And you go, well, you tore the page out. I don't know when that happened. I didn't tear it out for this morning. But that's what we got for memorizing it. But it was a challenge and it was a joy when we got that gold little foil seal there that we could put in our Bible. And if you'll notice, it's not perfectly round because a little trick that we did is we were sure to let it stick out just a little bit to where when people saw our Bible, I memorized Scripture. Yeah, I got it right here. I got your memorized, yeah. But the 100th Psalm was one of those passages that we memorized. And that was usually one of the first passages we memorized because it is only 5 verses long, and it is such a joyful psalm. And we've heard it from several translations. I want to give you one more, the one I memorized it in, and probably you did as well, and that is the King's English. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we thank you for your word, how it brings us back to you.
Father, we pray that as we study and as we trust, that you would help us to grow. For it's your precious name that we pray. Amen. One of the most beautiful psalms. I believe that we as a people, I believe that we as a nation have been truly blessed by God. Amen? We really have. And yet, as I said last week, I'm afraid that we've been guilty of forgetting God's goodness. So let me propose a course of action for you. You know, it's common at Christmas for children, maybe in adults too, to compose a list, right? And what's on that list? Yeah, things I want. Want Santa Claus to bring it to me. Things I want on my Christmas list. At New Year's, we tend to draw up a list too. And what is that? Things to be broken. No. Resolutions, right? Things we want to do better at. You know, kind of a promise to ourselves that we will do better. But I want to challenge you, make another list. Maybe the most important list you could draw up during this holiday season. And that is a list of things to be thankful for. A Thanksgiving list. I saw one this week, which struck me. Now there's all kinds of Thanksgiving lists out there, and some of them are quite humorous. But I saw one that really gave me pause. And so I want to share it with you. I'm thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. I'm thankful for the clothes that fit a little bit too snugly because it means I have plenty to eat. I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing and leaves that need raking. Let me underline that one. Leaves that need raking, windows that need washing, gutters that need cleaning, because it means I have home. I'm thankful for my electrical and gas bills because this morning it meant that I am warm. And I am thankful for piles and piles of laundry because it means I have loved ones nearby. Yeah. Now, if I made a list, some of these may be on there. If you made a list, some of these may be on there. My list may not be exactly the same as your list, but I'm convinced if we made lists, we would find a lot for which we need to be thankful for. Not just material possessions, but people, circumstances. And like you, I'm sure my list would include kind of the major things like life and health and family and friends and the nation we live in, despite the flaws in all the above. But most of all, I'm thankful for my salvation and for the mercy that God showers upon us. Because of Jesus, we have so much on which to celebrate on Thanksgiving Day. Amen? I mean, we really do. I thought about this week. Our nation will pause once again to celebrate Thanksgiving Day. And we'll have all types of things that will be going on. And I think we would have to assume that because of the example of our forefathers and because today we have so much, you would assume that we would be incredibly thankful people, right? That would be the logical response. And yet, many times just the opposite is true. The more we get, the less thankful we become, the less mindful of God we are, the more we want. So Thanksgiving becomes about turkey and football, I got nothing against turkey and football. but I think we lose perspective on what Thanksgiving is really supposed to be about. What does it mean to be thankful? I read an illustration this week. It talked about in a certain area of Mexico that there are hot springs and cold springs that are found side by side. A very strange phenomenon. Now, I've been to Eureka Springs and Wachita in the southwest mountains of Arkansas, in Wachita, where they have these hot springs, which are phenomenal.
Okay, but in this area in Mexico, they have hot springs and cold springs found side by side. And because of the convenience of these two springs side by side, this natural phenomenon, the women there often gather, they bring their laundry to the place, and they boil their clothes in the hot springs, and then they rinse them in the cold spring. And a tourist was observing this procedure, and he commented to his guide, he said, you know, they must think that God is so generous to supply such ample and clean, hot and cold water. And the guide replied, no, senor. Actually, there is much grumbling because he supplies no soap. And I thought, yeah, seriously? But I think that the 100th Psalm was written to deal with that kind of attitude, to remind us of our need to be thankful and to maintain an attitude that really does express gratitude. So let's look at it. The message of thanksgiving. The message of thanksgiving. The 100th Psalm was written for the people of Israel. And as we read last week in Deuteronomy chapter 8, God said to them through Moses, when you come into the promised land, and when you settle down in your homes, and when you have plenty to eat, do not forget me. He goes on to remind them, I led you out of the wilderness. I fed you in the wilderness. Your clothes didn't wear out. Your feet didn't swell. You remember all of that? And I brought you into this land flowing with milk and honey. Do not forget me. But it doesn't take long. It didn't take them long. It doesn't take us very long to realize that we need a reminder. We need a reminder. We forget too easily. Maybe God had us in mind also when this psalm was written. Did you notice to whom it's addressed? If you go back and look in the first verse, it's addressed to all the earth, or in the King James, all ye lands. In other words, everybody. And the last verse says that it includes all generations. Yeah. That kind of includes us, doesn't it? You see, the message of thanksgiving is so deep, it is so wide, that it applies to every person of every era and every stage of life. All generations, all ye lands, all ye people. And it's sad today, at least it is to me, that we are the only country in the world except for Canada and the Philippines that have a Thanksgiving Day. Now, that's not to say people aren't thankful around the world. I understand that. But we take a day to pause, and hopefully Thanksgiving Day is truly about Thanksgiving. But wouldn't it be cool if things were changed and all nations began to observe, really observe, not just Thanksgiving Day, but Thanksgiving? You'll forgive me for thinking out loud. That's what extroverts do best. But you know, we talk so much about bringing people together. You hear that a lot. That's kind of a buzzword now. Well, we want to bring everybody together. We want to bring the people together. What if we started by giving thanks? Wouldn't that be a beautiful perspective? And wouldn't that be a great starting point to break down barriers between people? Being truly thankful. And maybe our thanksgiving is based too strongly on how much we have. Do I have enough turkey to gorge myself sufficiently? Do I have enough money in the bank so that I feel secure? Do I have good enough health to do what I want to do? And we let these things determine whether we're truly thankful. The psalmist says that all of these things can change at any time. They may drift away, they may burn up, that somebody can steal them. The only thing that we have that is permanent is our relationship with the Lord. Now we have relationships with one another that will last as well. But I don't trust in you for my salvation. Nothing personal. I trust in the Lord. That's what the 100th Psalm emphasizes. If you look at verse 1, you'll find the word Lord. If you look in verse 2, you'll find the word Lord. If you look in verse 3, you'll find the word Lord. If you look in verse 4, you'll find the word... That's a trick question. It's not in verse 4, okay? It says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. But in verse 5, you find the word Lord. The basis of our thanksgiving is the Lord. That is the message of thankfulness to remember, as that we got here with the help of God, and he sustains us. He's the provider of every blessing. And so as I looked at that, I said, okay, if we take it verse by verse, it's only 5 verses, what can we find? And I found 5 commands, 5 disciplines, 5 suggestions for healthy living, for thankful living. The first command's in verse 1. It says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout for joy. Now, the word translated shout here means to proclaim with the force of a trumpet blast. It's a shout for joy to the Lord that comes from the very depths of your being. I compare it to the scream that emits from our throat as we see the running back breaking the goal line. See, we're more joyful at football games a lot of times than we are at church. Sorry. And if you're Wake Forest fans, it's so rare that we see that. I'm there with you, okay? But, you know, it's that sheer exuberance where you give yourself over to joy. You shout with your whole being. Maybe he's solved a problem for you. Maybe he's given you a new direction in your life. Maybe he's provided a blessing for you. And you realize all of this has come from the Lord. And so you shout, you proclaim his praise from the very depth of your being. That's what it's saying. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. The second command is serve the Lord with gladness. Now, it doesn't say here serve the church. It doesn't say serve the preacher. It doesn't say serve an organization. It says serve the Lord. The Bible tells us if we feed the hungry, if we clothe the naked, if we do the work of the Lord, whatever that might be, we are serving the Lord. Matthew 25, Jesus taught us well. In so much as you do this to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Yeah. Serve the Lord. That's what Psalm 100 is saying. In whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. The third command is come before him with joyful songs. We do that, don't we? Sure. Have you noticed, though, these first 3 commands, God has said, I want you to be happy. I want you to be joy-filled. I want you to shout with joy. I want you to serve with gladness. And I want you to come before me with joyful songs. The psalmist is saying, come before him, serve him, praise, sing his praise with joy in your heart. All of these with a joyful heart. And then command 4 is, know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. So let's look at the first part of that. Know that the Lord is God. It's he who made us, and we are his. God took every bone, every joint, and he welded them together with sinews, muscles, and covered them with skin. And he gave us eyes that see. He gave us brains that think. And he gave us fingers that can pick things up. He gave us opposable thumbs, which are really cool. They really are. Think about it. God made us inside and out. He made you the way that he wanted you to be. He made me the way he wanted me to be. I don't understand why, but somehow God decided that he wanted kind of an average guy, not really outstanding in anything, but could do several things fairly well, and a faithful follower, and a faithful father, and a faithful husband who would kind of keep plodding along, so he made me. Somewhere along the way, he had you in mind, so he made you. And he's still making us. That's important to remember. He's still making us. He's not satisfied with the unfinished product.
He's not satisfied with your temper. Uh-oh. He's not satisfied with the weak areas in your life where you keep giving in to temptation. He's still making us. He's still working on our lives. God is your maker, and you are created in His image. Therefore, give thanks. The second half of it says, we are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Well, the problem with that is that most of us want to be the shepherds, not the sheep. We say, it's not fun being the sheep. I want to lead. The problem with that is, we don't know where the still waters and the green pastures are. And every time we go out there on our own looking for them, we invariably end up in the far country. That's the scripture way of saying in trouble, okay? In the far country. And God is saying, you be the sheep. You be the sheep. Let me be the shepherd. And I will lead you beside the still waters and the green pasture. Just let me lead. Command number 5. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and praise His name. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's kind of a long command and deserves a little bit of background info. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolized the presence of God, right? We all know that. So whenever the people came to the temple and they entered into the courtyards, they knew that they had come into the presence of God. Well, no longer does that temple exist, okay? But oftentimes, the place where we meet to worship God is called a sanctuary. If you came in the door here, did you look at the letters above the door? Assuming none of the letters have fallen off this week, because that does happen occasionally. But it says sanctuary there. Now, does that mean that God is only here? No, of course not. Of course not. God's everywhere. We know that. He's with you as you drive on the highway. Uh-huh. Remember that. He's with you when you work. He's with you as you care for your children. He's with you as you care for your parents. He is with you every moment of your life. That is the source of our thanksgiving. But what if God began to treat us like we so often treat Him? Have you considered that? What if God met our needs to the same extent that we give Him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away His message because we wouldn't listen to His messengers? What if He wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank Him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the same way we answer His call to service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we did not follow Him today? Psalm 103, O Lord, help us to be thankful that You do not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. My prayer for all of us is that this would be a meaningful Thanksgiving week / season / year / life. Take time for the things that are most important. Take time to give thanks. Take time to read the 100th Psalm again. It's short. Maybe read it every day. What a great way to start the day. And I'm convinced that if you will read it
and heed the commands of the psalmist, your heart will overflow with thanksgiving to the Lord. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, again, we ask for your forgiveness when we seek to run our own life. And we pray that we would place our trust in you. We pray that we would offer our thanksgiving. Father, that offering will truly be pleasing to you. And we pray that we would live life with a spirit of thanksgiving. That our thanks living would truly be pleasing to you. And as we live that way, those that we bless will seek to know the origin of the blessing. And as that happens, be with us as we share the nature of our faith in you. Father, help us to be sensitive this week to all that you bring into our path. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Our invitation this morning is such that as you sing, I hope that that will be a confessional, that it would be an expression of how you feel about God. As you sing, you would understand what it means to know and trust Christ. And if you don't, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to talk with you about you, how you can have a personal relationship with Him. If you're here and you say, I am a believer, but maybe I just haven't been living in a spirit of thanksgiving, you can square that with God where you're seated or standing, or you can come here to the altar and pray here. I'll be glad to pray with you down front. Whatever your desire is there. If you're here and you'd like to be a member of College Park, I highly recommend it. Come and I'll share with you the ways that we receive members. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together. Remember our Thanksgiving Eve service here Wednesday night. Would love to see you here. Bring family, friends, neighbors with you. Be glad to greet them and be together for a service of Thanksgiving. Wednesday night at 7 o'clock here in the sanctuary. I challenge you to look around. Be sure after our benediction and the response, greet one another. Be sure and welcome our guests. as we go from this place into our mission field that awaits us. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you've given us. Father, we pray that we would go with thankful hearts and others would see Jesus in us. For it's in his name that we pray. Amen.